a very blessed Lord's Day to one and all. May you find the Lord to be gracious and merciful and be drawn to Him. This morning's sermon marks my last sermon to you all, and I will touch on a subject which I have avoided since I came here to minister the Word of God to you. I avoided this subject of giving, not because I'm afraid you may misunderstood me to be appealing for money to build something for this church, nor is it a sensitive subject that I should not be speaking on. I gave this subject a miss until now, because I wanted to go through with you the essential first. If those of you have been here since I came with Reverend Patrick Tan, we went back to the basic, isn't it? First of all, of grace and of mercy and of the love of God. We went back to the basic of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we continue on to touch on subjects of practical Christian living and our Christian testimony. Before now, I finally arrived at this subject, and I thought it is appropriate for me to touch on this subject since I will be leaving you, and so that you will not misunderstood that I am asking for more stipend. I must also stress on the onset here, neither am I considering this subject with you because I needed money for our return back to Singapore for our airfare. I can testify before you with all my heart that God has been and will continue to be the supplier of all my needs in this earthly life and in the life to come. And it will be the same for you if you put your trust only in Him and Him alone. More often than not, He supplies even before I ask. And I'm sure you have similar experiences like this. I know some of you are wary of this subject of giving because you either have heard stories of churches who use all kinds of methods to trick you into giving, and maybe you have been cheated yourself by all these scams that comes to you in the name of Christianity. But sensitive as it may be, or you may be feeling wary, nevertheless, I want to stress this, brethren, friends and children, this subject of giving is clearly found in the pages of Scripture. And therefore, my responsibility as preacher of His Word dictates that I should preach on it. Otherwise, I would have failed in my duty in giving you the whole counsel of God. So I would like to begin by asking all of us, what is giving? Why do you give? And what is your main concern when you do give to the Lord? Here I'm not just touching on giving of your substance, of your money only, but also on giving which involves your time, your energy, your effort, and even making sacrifices in serving the Lord in the various ministries of this church. Have you ever considered why are you giving? Why are you serving the Lord? For some, they may think that God actually needs their contribution, and that without your valuable contribution, without your valuable contribution, God's work will be hindered or cannot move on. Others may regard their giving or their service as a form of payment for membership in the church. To them, what they give is like a membership fee or like buying a stake in a corporation. Then there are those who give to the Lord because they want to solicit blessing from the Lord, similar to a business transaction, where blessings such as peace, health, prosperity are bought with money or with their service in the church. There was a time in the history of the church, and it was at this time that they taught that a person can buy God's forgiveness and salvation from hell by paying large sums of money. This was in the 16th century when the Church of Rome embarked on a very ambitious church building project, the building of St. Peter's in Rome. The Pope of Rome was so hard pressed to raise funds to construct this costly edifice that in order to speed up the construction or to speed up the contribution, he sent out monks all over Europe as salesmen to sell indulgences. These indulgences were really what? Forgiveness certificate endorsed by the Pope. One salesman by the name of Johann Tetzel composed a jingle to increase his sales of indulgences. It goes like this. As soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul out of purgatory rings. Or spring, rather. The result of this is a terrible abuse that people felt free to sin as much as they like, since after all, they can just purchase and buy all this forgiveness certificate to escape punishment for their sins. And of course, this aroused the righteous anger of many true believers at that time, including a German monk by the name of Martin Luther. And of course, you know history, church history. This eventually brought about the movement we know today as the Protestant Reformation. And the rest is history indeed. What we want to note here is this. It all began with a church building project and the sales of indulgences to raise funds for it. Today, of course, indulgences are no longer being sold, but there are still many believe that they can buy blessings from God or perhaps even forgiveness from God with their gifts or with their service. They make a deal with God. They say to God, well, if you give me a successful career, a good family, get me a big house, a nice car, a growing business, and if you give me everything that I want, then I will promise to give you back 10% of my earnings, and I will faithfully attend church, and I will give you 2 hours of my service every week. Brethren, children and friends, I hope we can all see the basic problem of all these reasons for giving unto the Lord or rendering our service unto the Lord. They all have one thing in common. It falls short of what the Bible says should be the reasons for our giving unto the Lord. Turn with me to chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles. Turn your Bible back to that page where our chairman has just read. In this passage, verses 1 to 19, we will find the answers to our earlier questions of what is giving, why we give, and how should we give. You have often heard the saying that it does not matter how much you give, as long as you give from your heart. I want to point out to you that this saying is not totally correct, and you will see from this passage later on. I want to stress from the beginning that God is not only concerned how we give, but also how much we give. A little background to this chapter is this. King David desired to build a house for the Lord, but God had instructed him and told him that this task would not be accomplished by him, though he loved the Lord so much that he wants to build this house for the Lord, but his son Solomon will take over this project or to carry out this work. So David did the next best thing. He began to make preparation all that were needed for the building of God's house, and so that Solomon, his son, would have everything he needed to start the building work. But I want you to note here, note how. That's important. And that is also for the church leaders to note. Note how David obtained sufficient funds for such a big project as this. Being the supreme ruler of this great nation, Israel, he would have several options available to him. Firstly, he could make an attractive offer to all who would give generously to this project, perhaps by granting them certain privileges, certain benefits, maybe tax exemption, like what you see in this world, from their public service perhaps, exemption from public service, and then he could have told the people that the more you give, the more benefit you receive. And this is exactly how many of these charlatan churches are going around raising funds. I was told by someone in our congregation here, there's a church many years ago up in Cuban. All you need to do is they come to you and you fill up this form for your prayer request and you put in as much as you can. And the more the merrier. Why? Then you can have more blessing from the Lord. The person, the pastor or the preacher or the elder of the church will pray for you. All you need to do, sign up that form, put your prayer request, put your money inside, and then he will pray for you and you can be assured of the Lord's blessing. But I want to tell you that all this trickery are not found in Scripture. This is not God's way of gathering funds to do his work. Alternatively, secondly, David could impose a very heavy tax upon all the Israelites simply by forcing them to give their money. After all, it is within his power, his authority to do so as the king. But David did neither of this, even though he was king and he had the authority over them to do so. Instead, he only encouraged the people to give their free will offering to build the Lord's house. Look again at the last chapter of 1 Chronicles. At this time, David was nearing the end of his life. He had gathered all the people together and had told them about his intention to build a house for the Lord. And we shall see in this chapter how David and the people giving their best for this great project. And as we consider this passage, we will discover three essential reasons why they gave unto the Lord, and may we learn to do likewise. The first essential reason is this, from verses 1 to 5. The Lord deserves the very best from his people. This is the first essential reason. Verse 1, David said to the congregation of Israel, Solomon my son is yet young and tender, and work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. We notice in this verse that David gives the reason why the building of God's house needed so much fun and needed to be done well. It has to be a what? A palace fit for a king. And this palace was not just to be the house of an ordinary king, but the palace of God. Of God himself. And God, being who he is, naturally deserves the very best from his people. In David's mind, building a less glorious building or less glorious house for the Lord would be a terrible insult to the Most High God. How could David himself, living in a royal palace, and then building a little shack for his God to dwell in? That would be unthinkable. God deserves the very best that we can give because he is none other than the Most High. David continues in verse 2. Now I have prepared with all my might. Notice there. I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood. David was now telling the Israelites that what he himself was contributing to the whole project. In verse 3, David went on to say this, Moreover, because I have set what? My affection to the house of my God. I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for thy holy house. Very clearly here, David wanted God to have the very best, because his heart, David's heart, was filled with love and devotion for his Lord. He wanted to honor the Lord, to glorify God. And therefore he wanted God to have only what? The best. I'm sure by and large you can appreciate what David is trying to do here. When you are in love with someone, will you not want to give your very best to the one you love? Those of you who are parents, those of you who are grandparents, when you love your children, is it not natural for you to give of your very best to them? You feed them with the best food you can afford. You supply them with more than what they needed. You worry about them. You stay up awake when they are sick. You help them to develop to their fullest potential as good parents. You may even be willing to sacrifice for your children, sacrifice your own comfort for their sake. For nothing brings greater joy to you, isn't it? To see your children, your loved ones, the one that you love, well, contented, growing up well. Is it not true that you will naturally give of your very best, of your heart, to the person you love? Now, if you can understand what parental love is, and if you can understand what true love is from the heart, then you will be able to appreciate what it means to give of your very best to the living God. Now, the purpose of giving, of course, is different from the giving of our best to God is different from our giving to our children. God does not need you and I to provide for His needs. The children need it. They need the parental care and concern because they are not able to help themselves. But God does not need you and me. God does not need our help in any way. He is all sufficient and He needs nothing at all from us. For the whole world is His and the fullness thereof. We read of this in Psalm 50. But remember that God has done so much for you and me than anyone else in the world. Your parents, our loved ones, not even them can match what God has done for you and I. He has done far more for you and I than what we deserve to receive from Him. And for that reason, God surely deserves to receive the very best from us. Moving on, let us consider what David did next. He had already set an excellent example for the people of Israel, and now in verse 5, he poses this question to them. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? This is a clear invitation to give to the Lord. But there is something very interesting in this verse I like to highlight to you. David did not simply say, who then is willing to give unto the Lord? Have you noticed that? Instead of using the word give, he used the phrase consecrate his service. This is a technical term that was used in the Old Testament to describe the ordination of the priest. So there is a strong connotation here of what? Of dedication, of devotion for holy service. This implies what? This implies our giving to God is not just an act of giving our surplus, or our spare time, or our last hour of energy, like we do when we give to charity, old clothing, old toys, all this, we are no longer needed, so we give to charity. This is different. It is an act of devoting ourselves totally to God and what? Keeping nothing back from Him. That is the emphasis of this phrase here. Consecrate His service, not giving. It is more than giving. And it is an act, this act is a privilege rather, that is not given to all, as we will see now in the second essential reason why they give unto the Lord. It is not for all, it is for what? Second reason here is found in verses 6 to 9. And this is this. It is our joy and our privilege to give to the Lord. We see the good response that David received from his people. He says this. We can see from the passage. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and hundreds and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams of silver, 10,000 of 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. To translate this huge amount into modern terms, you know how much they are giving? The people gave unto the Lord 170 metric ton of gold, 340 tons of silver, over 600 tons of brass, and about 3,400 tons of iron. Many of you here are great mathematicians and in the financial field. I am quite sure you can estimate the roughly estimate the value in today's term. Brethren, can you see what a tremendous response the people gave to David's call to give of their free will offering unto the Lord for the building of His house? If all Christians today were to give with such a spirit, then there would surely be no lack of funds for the work of the Lord, whether be it in mission or whether be it in building up the local church. But sadly, these days, the people of God are not giving with this same spirit because they are fearful. Fearful of being cheated by all these charlatans, pastors and preachers. However, I suggest and I submit to all of us that this should not keep us from giving, from rendering our best unto the Lord. If we have sought the Lord and prudently identify the needs of the church, we should be willing to give freely unto the Lord. What surprises us is this. The Israelites who give for such a building project were not in the least upset or sad or grieved by such a call. They willingly give of all that they have. Verse 9 says, then the people rejoice, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect hearts they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Why should they show such emotion? What made them all rejoice? The only reason they were able to rejoice is this, was that they consider the act of their giving not as their duty, nor as their obligation, but as their privilege. That is the key. Why do you give? Why do you serve the Lord? The Lord does not need anything from us at all. And so when you give, when you serve the Lord, when you render your gifts and your time, your energy unto the Lord, remember, it is our privilege, our joy, to give unto the Lord. This is an awesome privilege given to us, His people only. Only we can appreciate the true joy and the true privilege to give unto the Lord. Just think for a moment. Can it be possible that such a great God as He is, who owns the whole world, who needs nothing from us, from anyone, can such a great God be honored by receiving gifts from insignificant mortal beings like you and me? What can you and I give unto Him, unto God, that He does not already have? Can any one of you tell me? Everything belongs to Him. None of our gifts can make God greater than what He already is, or richer than what He already is, or more honor than what He already is. But when God chooses to accept gifts to Him and approves of it and finds pleasure in it, then we are the ones who have had the special honor of giving it to Him, and then it becomes our joy and our privilege to give unto the Lord. This alone should make us more than willing to give to the Lord. But there may be some who will say, well, what I have said so far is correct, absolutely true. I agree with you, Mark, that we ought to give of our best, and it is our privilege and our joy to give. But it cannot apply to me. Some of you may think that, well, I'm not rich enough. I do not have enough to live on. Surely the Lord would not expect me to give so much to Him. And even if I give, it will make no difference, isn't it? After all, mine is such a small amount. If you think like this, I'm afraid you would not only be denying yourself a great privilege, but you would also be claiming more for yourself than you should. Because of this, no matter how poor or financially strapped you may be, one fact will always remain constantly the same, and that is this: all that we have, even though it may not be very much, still comes from the loving hand of our Father in heaven. Remember this. The least that you have still comes from the loving hand of our Heavenly Father. We would not even have life, the very breath, today, if not of our Lord God giving us this very breath in our nostril. So this brings us to the third essential point, that is, all that we have comes from the Lord and rightly belongs to Him. Verses 10 to 16. Therefore, it does not matter, brethren, children, and friends. It does not matter whether you are rich or poor. It does not matter if you are employed or unemployed or retired. It does not matter whether you are a working adult, student, or even a young little children. Whatever you may be, this principle applies to you and applies to me. Everything that you are, everything that you have, comes from God and rightly belongs to Him. We are what? We are merely stewards of everything that we have. We are not the owner. Only caretakers. We are not the owners. We are only occupiers and tenants. This important principle can be seen in this passage. Look at the prayer of David in verses 10 to 13. Look at it very carefully, meditatively. Verses 10 to 13 says this: Blessed be Thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Note this here: for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of your doing, your effort, your power, your wisdom, your degrees. Riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to what? To make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Let us pause here for a moment and consider these words. The truth being emphasized by David in this humble prayer before God is that ultimately all that we are, all that we have, comes from God alone. May this be permanently stamped upon our hearts and upon our minds. Never think that all that you have. That is why Moses has to remind the children of Israel after they went into the promised land. Who gave them health to gain wealth? It is God. It is God. It is not because of what you have been studying all these years, mugging at your books, you know, and it be because of your interview skill that you can sell yourself, therefore you get good jobs and well-paid jobs because you have the strings of degree, you went through all this training, you are so experienced, so knowledgeable. Yes, you should do well in all that the Lord has given you and study hard and equip yourself to for the work, for the employment that the Lord has called you to. But remember, it is He who gives thee power to gain wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Even our ability to give what we give also comes from Him. And it would be utterly foolish for any one of us to go through life without realizing this. You will be foolish. And children, remember, you are able to do well in your study not because you are so smart, not because you inherited some smart gene from your parents. It still comes from God, who gave you wisdom from above. The least that we should do is to give thanks to God and praise Him, as what we see in the prayer of David. Let us continue in verses 14 to 16. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thy holy name cometh of thy hand, and all is thy own. We see here none of us has the right to be proud of how much we have given to the Lord. There is nothing to boast about, since all we are giving to Him really belongs to God. Even if we are able to give more than enough to support all the Lord's ministry, we can still have nothing to be proud of, because we would only have given back to God what is rightfully His. We are only stewards of His manifold grace, brethren and children. So why then does God give us what we have, if it meant to be given back to Him? Why does God enable some to give back more to Him than others? What purpose is there in all this? How do you show your love to someone whom you love so much? Is it just by words only? And you keep on repeating into his ear or her ear, I love you and I love you and I love you, I love you very much. Is that all you can say to the person and do to the person whom you love? The purpose of our giving is not to see who can give more to the Lord. Neither is it to make one feel sad because we are unable to give as much as the other person unto the Lord. The purpose behind all this, our giving, our rendering of our service unto the Lord, our serving in the various ministries of the church, is this: that our hearts may express our love for God through giving to Him willingly. That is the purpose of our giving. Giving back to God what is His with willing hearts reveals how much you really love the Lord. Do you, that's why I ask the question, do you express or show your love to someone just by words? Certainly action will further express your love to that person, isn't it? Same it is for us here. You don't just say that you love the Lord. You don't just say that you love the Lord by coming here to worship Him only. You will want to try your best to do all that you can, all that is instructed from God's Word, to serve Him, to give of your best, to give of your time, to give of your energy, to make sacrifices to Him, which to you is no sacrifices at all, because the Lord has sacrificed His life for you. That should be our attitude. That should be our thought. Not because Preacher Mo wants you to serve, not because the leader, deacon, Jonathan is asking you to come and help, but because you love the Lord and you want to show your love to the Lord by what? By action. By your giving. And giving what? Giving willingly from your heart. And that is why David goes on in verse 17 to say, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. When we give anything to the Lord, whether it is from our earnings, whether be it from our service, of our time, of our talent, what God looks for is not so much the amount we have given, but rather the motives and the attitude behind them. In the Gospel of Mark, it is recorded for us that our Lord, what? Our Lord Jesus was watching the people giving their offerings at the temple one day. He saw the rich giving large amounts of money, and then He saw a poor widow giving only 2 small coins, perhaps only 5 pieces. Each. But Jesus knew who among all of them was the one who truly loved God the most. It was not the rich who have given so much because they still had a lot of money left for themselves after they have given. But it was the poor widow, because those two small coins that she gave were all that she had. And she had what? She had given her all without holding back. Nothing, keeping nothing for herself. She gave it willingly and lovingly out of a grateful heart to her Savior and to her Lord. That makes the difference. That makes the difference in our giving. Brethren, children and friends, if any one of us think that he or she should be spared or excused or exempted from giving to the Lord or from rendering his service to the Lord, let this person also be excused from loving God. If you ever think that you should be spared and excuse yourself from giving, from serving the Lord in the various ministry of the church, then may you also be excused from loving God. Consider this very carefully. Let every member of God's family in New Life Bible Presbyterian Church, London, whether old or young, the adults, the youth, as well as the children. Therefore, let us learn to give out of a willing heart, because our Lord God deserves the very best from us. Because it is our privilege and our joy to give unto Him. And because all that we have rightly belong to the Most High God. I leave these words with you, brethren, this morning. This being my last. And I'm very thankful to the Lord that He has shown us token of encouragement and blessing in so many ways. And I hope to impress upon each one of us that you will also likewise give of your all to the Lord, because He had died for you on the cross of Calvary. He holds nothing back from you. He gives His very life to you, brethren. So what have you given to the Lord? Is it too much? Is it too much to give unto the Lord? To give of your time to come for prayer meeting? To give of your time to come for Bible study? Is it too long a distance to travel when our Lord Jesus carried that cross, that heavy cross, and walked for miles perhaps for your sin? Is it too far? Oh, the rain! Oh, the winter cold! What about our Lord? Did He consider that? Oh, it's too hard for these people. I will not die for them. I should not carry the cross for them. It's cold. It's raining. It's wet. It's miserable out there. I'd rather stay in my heavenly kingdom. Did God think that way for you? No. He carried that cruel cross. Suffered the humiliation of cruel men. Wicked men and women for you. And you cannot give 1 hour of your time to the Lord, and you just want to give your time just for this morning service. Is it too hard to come for evening service also? Of course, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that therefore you should come every single thing, every activities of the church, as the Lord so call you and lay upon your heart. Then you come. Come and serve the Lord and offer your hearts to the Lord willingly, just like the children of Israel, just like King David, and holds nothing back. That's what I'm trying to emphasize here. Not asking you to participate in every single activities of the church and getting yourself burnt out and no time for your personal meditation and prayer with the Lord. No. But rather to consider very carefully, what have you gave unto the Lord? Check our hearts, our motives, when we serve, whether be it ushers, whether be in the kitchen, is it too much to wash dishes? Oh, my hand is, I don't want to get my hand dirty. But I'm thankful that I can begin to see, especially right now as I leave this church, I'm so thankful to God to see some of you ladies. Honestly, from my heart, I'm telling you this, that you automatically right now come in to the kitchen to wash dishes, to render your service unto the Lord without being told. And that's a good sign. And I thank God for that token of encouragement that I've received. Not because of my doing, I must tell you, not because of my preaching, but I'm seeing the work of the Holy Spirit working in your hearts, stirring you up. And I desire the Lord to stir up more of such spirit that you gave of your heart to the Lord. As the days draw by, we are at the end of life, of this time that the Lord has given to us. Those of you who are younger, do not think that you have all the time in the world. Anything can happen to you. Life can be just taken away, whether you are young or old. Death is no respecter of person, and no respecter of age, no respecter of ethnic group. Brethren, I want to impress upon you that you gave of your best unto the Lord. Not because the leaders asked you, but because of what the Lord has done for you. To give you life eternal and to continue to bless you. Can any one of you among us here say that the Lord has not blessed you? Can you really honestly say that the Lord did not bless you at all? That the Lord has held back so many blessings from you? Can you say that? If you cannot, how are you responding to His love for you? Just by coming on Sunday to worship and spend 2 hours here and happily satisfy your conscience that you have worshipped the Lord, I want you to consider and seek the Lord prayerfully where you can serve the Lord. I'm going to submit a final report of this church to the leaders. My assessment, and we have to think very hard how we want to advance God's kingdom and this witness here in this part of London. I honestly tell you, we are very concerned. Many of us are leaving, of course, as the Lord so lead us. But those of you who are remaining behind, those of you who are, even though you are transitional here for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, will you consider to render unto the Lord your best, your time, your energy, not for your own glory, but for the glory of God and for the blessing of others, of your brethren in Christ? Do not think that because you are transitional here, therefore, well, it's alright. No, make good use of the time here, even how short it may be, that you may render unto your God your very best, willingly from your heart, for His glory, for the blessing of His people, and for the winning of lost souls to be brought into His kingdom. Our loving Heavenly Father, eternal God, we thank Thee for Your word. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that You have given us the very best, Your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. O Lord, I pray that as I appeal to Your people, may Your Spirit work in their hearts and speak to them, that they may realize the urgency of time, the needs of the church, that they may give of their wholehearted worship and devotion and service to You. O Father, help Thy people, I pray, as we return to our various stations of life, whether our employment or whether in our retirement or whether at home or in our school, whatever our vocation, our calling, we pray that You will help us to render our all unto Thee willingly from our hearts, to glorify Thee and to be a blessing to others. So help us, we pray, that we will not forget Calvary. O Lord, speak to Thy people, I pray, and move us to greater service and greater height of devotion and worship to You, and may You help us to grow more and more Christ-like. In Jesus' name, Amen.